So this chapter is chapter 11, ordained authority. Ladies, if I hit too hard on this, please forgive me. Just going to give that straight up at the very beginning. Unfortunately, for 36 years, I have been seeing the carnage left behind by Christians' selfish version of marriage. The world doesn't teach the truth, and so even in the church, we see marriage after marriage after marriage because the ordained authority that God established is not followed, and my heart breaks for the children. They are the ones who suffer. Paul ends chapter 10, whether then you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, so that many will be saved. And then he says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Wow, that's some strong words. Be imitators. You know, I'm scared to say that. I'm like, I want you to be imitators of me, but not always. Because I am not Jesus. I'll do my best, but, you know, so he's pretty, you know, bold to say that. Could you say that to your kids? Could you say, be imitate, kids, imitate me. Look how I'm loving your dad. Look, see how I'm loving your dad? That's how a wife loves a dad. Could you say that? Pretty hard, huh? Yeah, there's tons of grace, but we are Christ's pace setters. So let's read verses 2 through 9. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head, but every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesies disgraces her head. For he is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off or her head shaved. Let her cover her head. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from the man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake. So I hope you did your homework, because I feel like they really did a good job in helping us to understand this stuff. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways work, ours don't. And when he's talking about this coverings and all that, I'm not really going to get into that, because I think there's more important stuff here for us to look at. The marriage covenant was God's idea to bless us, a safe place for us to learn how to love. That's what it is. You get a partner. Two are better than one. A safe place for us to learn how to love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, and we all fall short of this. I, after 36 years of trying, I'm still falling short of it. Love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. That's one I think women really need to write down. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. It rejoices in the truth, God's truth. It rejoices in God's truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's truth. That's God's description of love. You know, for years, when we were younger even, I mean, Gary's just had wisdom from a very young age. I think it's a gift from God, to be honest. He used to say, it's not love that keeps marriage alive. It's marriage that keeps love alive. Isn't that good? I used to hear him say that and go, it's too confusing for me. I don't know what you're saying. What? It's like double talk or something. What are you saying, Gary? It wasn't till probably the past maybe 10 years that I finally got that. That the marriage covenant, that staying married, working out our differences, showing each other grace, being good forgivers, that's what keeps love alive. It's not marrying someone else and starting all over again. It's not love that keeps marriage alive. It's marriage that keeps love alive. We are all on that journey of imperfect progress, right, ladies? Our world has perverted marriage to an extent that it is no longer recognizable. We have created some cheap, selfish version of marriage that doesn't go the distance and often does more harm than good. What the cheap substitute that we've created doesn't withstand the time, the pressures of time. We need to do things God's way and learn about His ordained authority. A covenant is a sacred agreement between God and a person or group of people. God sets specific conditions and promises to bless if we obey. He's the one who sets the conditions, and it's a covenant that we stand before Him when we get married. He sets the conditions. If we obey, He will bless it. He is a God of order, and when we follow His ordained order, our lives will be blessed. God created order in the human body. There's a thing called homeostasis. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's that my blood sugar and my blood pressure and my temperature and all these other functions that are my liver enzymes, all those things right now, hopefully, are in homeostasis. They're in homeostasis. I'm up here. I'm happy. I'm good. I feel good. Everything's good. That's homeostasis. God created that. He's a God of order. And you know, if you study the eyeball, you ever want to get a big God? You ever want to see how big your God is? Study the eyeball. It'll blow your mind, absolutely. He's a magnificent designer. Psalm 139:14 says, I will give you thanks, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He's a God of order in the human body. God created order in the universe. The universe operates in precise numerical values. The earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, which creates our seasons. And every winter, spring comes. We're all waiting for it now. By our faithful God's order, every single winter, next thing you know, spring comes, right? And then summer, and then fall, faithfully, every year, for 2,000 years, right? He's a God of order. Jupiter is the solar system's vacuum cleaner. Did you know that? If you ever, also, you want to get a big God, study the solar system. It's unbelievable. Without it, without Jupiter, objects would hit the Earth 10,000 times greater than they do right now. Jupiter, God created Jupiter to suck out all the things so that that wouldn't hit the Earth. Isn't that amazing? He's just incredible. He's a God of order. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Isn't it true? When you see how he is a God of order, he doesn't leave anything out. He's precise. Spring always follows winter. What is man? What is me that you are mindful of her? You know, I am so fickle and emotional and not orderly. It just blows my mind that he's so loving, such a loving God. God created order in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2, although he existed in the form of God, Jesus did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. There was even order in the Godhead. There was even submission, ordained authority in the Godhead of Father, Son, and Spirit. Even Jesus stepped into God's ordained order and said, not my will, but thy will be done. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he listened and submitted when he was called to submit? Paul praises them for holding firmly to the traditions, but then he begins to teach them and by these verses that we just read. And first of all, this has nothing to do with superiority or inferiority. It has to do with God's design for order in the marriage and home and church. It doesn't say that women are under men's covering in society. We are not. I mean, you guys know that, right? If you watch TV. We are not under men's covering in society. And also, every woman is not subject to every man. I need you to know that, because there's some bozos out there. Single women, be careful. I remember when I was in Bible school, I had a beautiful roommate. And every guy in the church fell in love with her. I was too much trouble. And so they all would come to her and say, I prayed, I sought the Lord, and you're supposed to be my wife. I can't tell you how many times that happened to that girl. And so, you know, You are not subject to every man, even in this church, if you're a single woman, just so you know that. You get to choose who you will submit to. If you are single, how many singles we got in here? You guys have it made. You get to choose the pastor you will follow and submit under his authority, and you get to choose the man you will follow and submit to his authority. So you're in a real good place. Be picky. And Gary's a good choice, just so you know. In God's plan of redemption, there is order in the home and in the church. Christ is the head of every man. The man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. In Genesis, in the process of creating, God created the universe, or created light and dark. He said, this is good, and this is good. Ah, yeah, this is good, and this is good. And then he made a man, which is kind of funny, and he said, this is not good. I'm just kidding. No, he made a man, and he said, it's not good that he be alone. This is not good. That man needs help. He needs some help. Right? God saw everything was good, and then he made man. And for the first time when he was creating, he says, something's not good. He loved everything else he made and thought it was complete. Then he created the man. And he goes, this is not good. It's not good for him to be alone. Not good that man be alone. I will make him a helper. The man was not made from the woman. The woman was made from the man. The man was not made for the woman. The woman was made for the man. This is God's truth. He could have created them both at one time, right? He's God. He could have just created male and female. But no. He created man. He had an idea in his head. This is what a man is going to be. And then he looked at the man and he thought, something's missing. He needs something. So he created female. And they're not the same, right, guys? No matter how much this world would like us to believe that they are not the same. Male and female, he created them on purpose. They are different by design, gifting, and calling. Woman is the feminine of man. She is not only man's helper, she is his complement and essential to the completion of his being. You know, I see lots of single women, and single women have girlfriends and they seem to be able to handle it. But every time I see a single man, my heart breaks. I just feel like he needs somebody. He needs a girl to help him learn, you know, to be social. And men need what women bring, and women need what men bring. So God says, man, make God your head and submit to him. He says to the men of this church, make me your head and submit to me. And he says to the married women, make man your head and submit to him. There is not a woman in this room who is more stubborn and prideful than me. Most of you know the story. I was a new believer, braless, in Bible school, smoking cigarettes on the break. And they brought this elderly couple in. I was 21. They brought this elderly couple in their 80s or something. They were like ancient. And they came to teach us kids about marriage. And I was so, it was just no good. And so at the end of the whole thing, they asked if anybody had anything to say, and I stood up. This, I want you to know, because if God can teach me how to submit, he can teach any of you how to submit. If he can teach me how to have a man be the head over me and live in harmony in a home, he can do any of you guys, I promise. I stood in front of the whole class. The teacher's right there. I turned around and addressed the entire class and said, if there's a man in here who will submit to me, I'll marry him. I did that. It was so foreign to me that I couldn't even grab it. I had grown up in bars since I was 16 years old. Men being, men being filthy pigs, kind of, bar guys. And I was like, ew, I could never submit to a man. That's kind of was my attitude. And Gary says, and what?
Was it Dan and Gary, weren't they in the back of the room?
Yeah, but he said we've been happily married ever since or something. I can't remember the joke, but they have this, but Dan and Gary, Dan was there. He heard me say it. So it's really true. I did say it. Anyway, the whole point of that is there's not a woman in here more rebellious than me or more stubborn than me. I got in 2 bar fights because I didn't like what a man said to me. I mean, I don't know, has anybody else gotten 2 bar fights? Beating up a man? Yeah, see? Yeah. Yeah. For 36 years, I've been trying to submit to God's order by honoring the sinful man I married and trying to be an encouragement to him instead of nagging him. I am in awe at what God has done. Oh my gosh, and Gary is such an incredibly godly man. When we fight for control, we are fighting for Christ's position in our husband's life. When we fight for control in the home, we are fighting for Christ's position in our husband's life. When we disrespect the men in our church, we're fighting for Christ's position in the men in our church. Because in the church is the same as in the home. We are to honor the men as leaders in our church. We are not fighting with our husbands, but with Christ himself. For he is the head over man, not me. And praise God for that, that Gary didn't get me for a head. You know what I mean? Oh my goodness, would we have been a mess. Every man whose wife who is not under his leadership is dishonoring Christ. Every man whose wife, who has a wife, who is not under his headship is dishonoring Christ. How about that? Talk about some hard words. Because Christ is to be his head. He's not supposed to love his wife more than he loves God. Do we want his kingdom to come and his will to be done, or ours? I know these are hard words, but it's just true. Because of our genetics and ancestry, we will be prone to try and take down and compete with our husbands at every turn. I think I fought with Gary for the first 10 years, if you really want the truth. And he loved me enough to put up with me. And then I finally knew enough of God's word and had enough truth in me to figure out that I was blowing it. God calls men to lead and women to follow. And when women lead and men follow, it's called sin. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's what took us all down. It's not God's plan. So we can live a redeemed life, follow God's principles, encourage, build up, honor our husbands, and then, after 36 years of us doing that, be married to this incredible man that you're humbled that he's even in your home if you build him up. I told my son before he got married, there's a very important verse in the Proverbs, and you know, everybody says, Proverbs 31, that's the, you know, oh, we love that one, don't we? You know, she stays up late, she gets up early, or, you know, she sits by the gate and speaks well of her husband, or, you know, there's just a million and one things that we got to do. But it says the heart of her husband trusts in her. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and there's no lack of gain. But the verse I gave my son wasn't for the woman. It's in Proverbs 31, but it's for the men. And his mom said to him, "Do not give your strength to women. Do not. Or your ways to that which destroys kings." And that's drinking. So in other words, she was saying to her son, "Don't give, whatever you do, don't give up your manhood. You got to be a man or you won't be honoring God. And don't drink," which I think there are 2. So I told my son, "Don't give your strength to woman. I don't care who you marry. And don't drink." I see women strip their husbands of their manhood with criticism and then despise him for being so weak. I see it all the time. She rips him apart daily And then she despises him. At the end of her life, she divorces him because he's a mouse instead of a man. We can all become Delilahs if we're not submitted to God's chain of command and God's authority. Genesis 3:16 says, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." What that means is that we women will have a desire to rule over our husbands. And so he's got to work with that. It's a desire to challenge his leadership, just like Eve did in the garden. Because of the curse, Eve would have to fight a desire to master her husband for the rest of her life, a desire that works against God's divine order for the home. Only Christ in us can give us the tools to not judge them, but to actually build them up, encourage them, and help them become the man God created them to be. If we can't even realize that this is our sin nature, we'll never be able to walk in the Spirit in this area of our life. Every single woman since Eve will struggle with wanting to control, manipulate, and challenge her husband. And so we have to choose to live by this truth and live differently if we want his kingdom to come and not our own. You know why God created man first? He didn't want any advice. Right? And you betcha. If he'd have created woman first, we'd have been, I want him to be this and this and this and this, and he has to have this kind of this and this and this and this, right? Yeah. When women act like men, something terribly important gets lost in the mix. Our kids already have a dad. They need a mom. They need to see what God's design for marriage looks like. Don't try and be the head of your home. Honor your husband and be the mom of the home. Be the wife of the home so the kids can see how they complement one another. After 36 years of reading the Bible, I understand the order, and I am so thankful for it. And you know what? Here's just truth, too. This is mine and Gary's third church. 9 times out of 10, if there's a problem in the church, it's an unsubmitted woman. 9 times out of 10. If there's problems in a church, it's because there's a man in the church has not won the respect of his wife and got her under his authority. You think it's hard to follow a sinful man? It is, right? Come on, high five, right? It's not easy to follow a sinful man. It wouldn't be easy for him to follow us either. Way harder to follow an unsubmitted woman. Like say you're on a team, a ministry team, you're going to a mission field. I'm telling you, I've been there. It is awful when there is a woman who thinks she's the boss and in charge of everybody and there's not a man over her giving her help. I have a hard time around women who want to rule over men and the men who let them. I just want to smack them because I wasn't allowed to do that. How come they get away with that and I can't, you know? My Bible, it's sin. John Wesley, his wife used to stand up in the service and call him a hypocrite and a rotten husband. They would have to drag her out. And I heard that she trained her kids very well, Susanna Wesley. And she taught herself Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. But she was just a religious woman, a very self-righteous, religious woman, and didn't get saved till right before she died. Did you know that? Yeah, she was like a Pharisee, judging him and judging the kids and, you know, learning Greek and Hebrew and thinking that she was it. And at the end of her life, she was humbled and got saved right before she died. Billy Sunday, his wife would go up to the pulpit when he was getting too long-winded and pull him down. We have some godly men because of godly women. We have godly men in this church that you can look up to and respect because of the godly women in this church. We have some godly men because of godly wives, and we have some godly men in spite of their wives. Man was created first. God chose man for the priesthood, and Jesus chose 12 male disciples. There's a difference between male and female. 1 Timothy 2:13 says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet, for it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. Now, I need to say, I believe a woman can be a mayor. I believe she can be president. I believe she could teach my husband math. We're talking about in the home and in the church. God's ordained order in the home and in the church. Ephesians 5:23, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. As the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their own husbands in everything. We learned that when we studied Ephesians. Satan wants to distort everything and make it evil. Dancing becomes lusting. Sex becomes perversion. Spanking becomes abuse. Wealth becomes greed. Submission becomes evil domination. But if we live in God's word, it's truth. You didn't marry a girl. Yeah. Yeah. As much as I love my girlfriends, I need a man. Don't try to make him a woman. Be thankful he's a man. God said it is not good for him to be alone. I just want to ask you this. Would it be better off for him to be alone? I know a lot of women who get really nitpicking and criticizing and nagging their husbands. He might be better off without her if she wasn't building him up. Are you competing or completing your husband? Ladies, God has never made a man who is going to satisfy the deepest place in your soul. If you think that is what a husband is supposed to do, you will live in constant disappointment with unrealistic expectation that lead you to bitterness. You are not arguing with your husband, but with Christ. Christ is the head over him, not you. You are trying to usurp the place that Christ has in your husband's life. A strong, godly man cannot let that happen, no matter how cute you are. And I'm sure he thinks you're cute or he wouldn't have married you. He cannot let his God down like that. He has to be the head of his home or he's failed the Lord. That's even worse than divorce if he fails the Lord. And then 10 through 16, he says, therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. I think you might have learned in your homework, the angels watch us. And Chris said that they cover their eyes when they worship God. There is a chain of authority, even in the angelic realms. And they watch how we honor the Lord. They watch how we walk in truth. However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves. This is the most important one from this portion. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? What was going on was that the prostitutes, the women in the church were starting to look like the prostitutes, and they couldn't tell the difference. So our culture, this is not a part of our culture. This was a part of their culture. And Paul says, judge for yourself. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is glory for her. Her hair is given to her for a covering. But if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. So this is a message, and I love the homework. I emailed Marianne, and I said, you know what? I feel like I wrote this homework because I love the way they walk you through the verses. It's just so perfect to help me to teach what needs to be taught. So the head coverings was a thing of their culture. It's not a thing of our culture. So I sat there this morning and I thought, well, okay, they honored their husbands by showing a form of submission by having something on their head. That was their culture. I wonder how we honor our husbands. How do I honor my husband? By showing the world that I'm under his authority and his leadership and that he's over me as my head. And so I sat this morning and I picked 10 things. There's probably more than this, but I picked 10. In 2016, how do I show honor to my husband's headship? Number one, by not criticizing him in public with friends or using social media to destroy him if he's let me down. Number two, by not talking over top of him as though my opinion was the most important one. Number three, by respecting the budget for our home and not overspending. Number four, by allowing him to discipline my children, even though to me it seems a bit harsh. Honoring him in front of my children. If I disagree, I talk to him later about it. Number five, by not dressing so provocatively that I draw attention from other men. I can honestly say that pretty much in 35 years of marriage, I haven't had too many men hit on me. And I'm okay with that. But I never give them the time of day. They know from the minute they meet me that I love, adore my husband, and so they don't go there. Number six, by cooking, cleaning, doing laundry, and making him feel loved in his home, his haven. Number seven, by not letting others bash him in front of me and standing up for his honor if anyone ever did. And people have tried to bash my husband. Number eight, by not using sex or emotions as a manipulative tool to control him. Number nine, by honoring him with my words, building him up with encouragement. And number 10, by sharing my opinion, but leaving the outcome to his decision. He is my covering. I have lots of opinions. And Gary knows that. That's one of the reasons he married me. He thought I was smart. But I don't ever push my opinion on Gary. He can ask me what I think, and I let him know, and then I drop it. It's done. And he will stand before God with the decisions of our home. And here's a great quote. Nothing eternally fruitful comes from a life lived selfishly. There will be no eternal fruit if you're living selfishly in your marriage. If you treat a man as he is, he will stay as he is. But if you treat him as if he were what he ought to be and could be, he will become the bigger and better man. And Romans 13:1 says, be subject to your authority. It is established by God. And then I'm going to leave you with Titus 2:5. Be subject to your husband so that the word of God is not dishonored. Isn't that hard? Be subject to your, honor your husbands. Honor the men in the church so that the word of God is not dishonored. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you that you know what we need even more than we do. Lord, I pray that we here at Calvary Chapel Santee would be women who build men up and don't tear them down. I pray that you would give us, Lord, the grace we need to live under the authority that you've established for us in this church and in our homes. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us hope if there's any struggling in their marriage and in honoring their husband. I pray, Lord, you'd show little ways, little steps to take. Speak, Lord, into their lives and help them to see how you can help them become the woman that that man needs. And now, Lord, I pray that you would teach us through our homework, that we might be women that glorify you and that your word would not be dishonored through us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.